Hello, this is the Dot Matrix, and I'm Sean.
I'm Justin. I just wanted to take a thing of water before that. Wait, we're starting.
Yeah, we're starting now, Justin. And I am starting this one today, as you know.
As you've just heard, obviously.
As you just heard. And I was going to say, you've reached the Dot Matrix, but we're reaching out to you. So yeah, it's...
In a completely non-threatening way.
Yeah. Completely non-threatening. It's again been, not a super long time, but it's been a few weeks.
Yeah, well, it's when you emailed this morning, I must confess, I was like, oh, right!
Oh, really? Oh, you know, I thought, oh, I'm beating you to it. Because something like this, a reminder, you would remember probably before me to remind ourselves.
Well, because I know we set it, the date, and I remember now putting it into my thing. But then, for a long time, we had Mondays as our regular one. We were trying to do Mondays, right?
Yeah.
And so I had it forever in my calendar, just automatically repeating every 2 or 3 weeks or whatever it was, oh. Right? And so when I saw it the other day, I was thinking, oh, that's just the repeat, the one that I can ignore,
mm-hmm.
because we just haven't said it. And then you emailed this morning, I was like, right.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said, want me to come over to your place this time? I'm like, yes.
Well, I just figured, oh man, I mean, who knows when I'll leave and then work and then... Even though I've been leaving pretty much on time these days, but then, you know, just having to do a bunch of stuff, take Dexter out,
right?
Make sure he's fed, take care of any other little tiny things that need to be done, and then, you know, just have you wait around just seems weird because you're actually in my neck of the woods
for
most of the day, and then you come way back over here to the west side, which is lovely in the evenings, all the sunsets.
It's a pretty nice place to be.
It really is.
Especially if you're Christy Clark.
Yes, which is definitely on my list to talk about, and I'm sure you'll be happy to join me on that. But
yes, you fanboy, you.
I'm a Christy Clark fan. Absolutely, won't deny. But I thought, well, maybe let's start with this, because this is the most current of the recent events, because it just happened yesterday.
Right.
Is the newly elected NDP leader in British Columbia, Adrian Dix.
Yes.
It was almost an afterthought because everyone's talking about hockey and woo. And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, they were choosing their new leader. It's like just went under everyone's radar, right?
Pretty much.
So what do you think about that?
Have you
thought about it?
I don't know. I guess, I mean, I really don't know the BC NDP at all. Because I remember talking to someone who follows them and has been a party member for a number of years, and I was chewing the fat and saying, and I might even mention it on the podcast before, but like, well, Jenny Kwan's gonna run, like she totally slayed Carol James. Why wouldn't she run? I mean, that's what you do. You're a dragon killer, then you run, and you want to be king or queen, right? And he's like, oh no, she'll never run. And I'm like, what part of this logic am I not getting, right? Like, it just makes sense, right? And lo and behold,
yeah.
Was she running? No.
No.
Nowhere to be found.
She was actually off the map for a while.
Did she even endorse anyone?
She endorsed Farnworth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, actually, Adrian Dix was one of those people that when Jenny Kwan was involved with dismantling the party back in the fall, Adrian Dix was one of those that was very critical of her for her behavior. So it's going to be interesting because the person who was saying that the party needs to unite under someone else other than Carol James was someone who didn't think that Adrian Dix was the person to do it.
Right.
So, you know, are they going to be united or is this going to cause more problems?
Well, I mean, the way so in that instance alone, maybe I just don't get NDP BC politics, or just I don't get politics generally. But like, so I was in some ways I was thinking, well, why would they go someone who has a more left leaning ideology when you should go more center? Because that's where you battle it out there.
Yeah.
And then I think, well, you know, maybe if you want to be a real difference, which is sort of what he said in his acceptance speech, like we're going to present a very different option for British Columbians, then you do want someone who's ideologically different and not at the center, right? So I don't know. So I thought it was going to be Farnworth, myself, I just assumed. And then I thought maybe it's going to be like a Stefan Dion kind of thing, like Horgan guy, who is the middle ground between the two, and everyone just compromises with this guy, right? And I thought maybe he was going to come up the middle and win, but he wasn't even a big like a factor real contender, at all.
Yeah.
Although he came out strong, and but the you know, so in some senses, I don't really know. I mean, from what I hear, sorry, I've got a little bit of allergies still for the spring. But I didn't realize he was the chief of staff for Glenn Clark back in the day.
Yeah.
That's his, that's part of his lineage, I guess, or his heritage, or his pedigree, sorry, is the better word.
Well, and he's also involved with some kind of questionable actions, too, with his, that whole gambling, or I mean, whatever that he was charged with, the patio thing or whatever.
The deck.
The deck issue, the RCMP raid and all that. Like, but the thing is, he's not running away from it.
So what exactly did he do? Like, what was shady? Like, I know the deck gate, which is an absurd thing to begin with, and and to have a premier fall for that is, I'm a pretty ethical guy, but I think that's very, I don't know. There could have been more awful things for someone to fall from. Totally. So, but I have no idea what Adrian Dix would have been part of.
Right? It's something, some memo that he wrote or some document.
It's always a memo, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't fully understand. I'd read tidbits, you know, by Von Palmer and, you know, all these, those political pundits that remember all this stuff from back and when, you know, especially when the NDP were in power in that decade of disaster.
It's called the 90s, Sean. The 90s. Which I've been told is actually a really long time ago.
I know. It just is. It's
so old. I get confronted with that fact every day. It's really sad.
That is really too bad.
Yeah. Anyways.
I mean, he's the left, even though he does say that, you know, he thinks he's actually more moderate on some other issues. He didn't really give any examples, but he thinks he's actually a little more not as left as you think, like even less left than Christy Clark would be on some issues.
Okay.
So that will remain to be seen. But I think liberals are laughing. I think Christy Clark has an even bigger smile than she always usually has.
Is your Facebook status today? Is that what?
Yeah.
I was trying to think, what happened? Oh, right.
Yes. Oh, because I was messaging my sister.
Yes, on her wall. In a very public forum called Facebook Walls.
I know.
You wanted me to see. It's like graffiti, right? Like, come on.
It's pretty awesome. But I always think every time I post something to my sister's wall, I know you're going to be watching.
I know.
You saw our exchange about Britney Spears last week.
Oh no, I didn't see the Britney Spears one. What happened?
I thought you were going to go fight,
which I do normally.
Well,
what did you say?
Well, basically, it was just really silly because she was thinking of going to see Britney Spears because I think she's coming back.
Oh, okay.
And so I just went, like I do sometimes, like I'm like, like what's that about, right? Because she's posing on the wall, who wants to go or whatever. And she's like, then she started basically asking, like, you know, whatever, laugh out loud, Mr. Lady Gaga was awesome or whatever she said.
Which I can attest to, you did say that.
I totally did. I don't deny. But, and she was like trying to like compare. And I'm like, do you really want to start this? So she's like, laugh out loud, of course. Ha ha ha. Let's get into it. So basically we just went back and forth about how Lady Gaga, talent, Britney Spears, like, what can you even say about her? And she's like, well, she's not in her crazy period anymore. I'm like, really? Okay. We'll see. I said, as long as she remembers to move her mouth when the singing starts.
Oh!
Right? When they press play on the CD.
Right.
Anyway, so we just went back and forth like that. And I was so expecting you to jump in and be like, come on, guys.
I know. I didn't see that. Oh.
You got to go to my wall or her wall. I do. Anyway, so I think Adrian Dix is no match for Christy Clark. And on the other token, which you may have seen me post about,
yes,
this Point Grey riding of yours and the NDP who they chose to run against her.
See, and I didn't know until this morning that that would happen. I didn't see it on your on your wall. Okay. Or maybe you mentioned it but didn't name a name, so I didn't quite understand the reference or something. I don't know. Because Adrian Dix was on the early show on the radio this morning, and that's what I have when my radio goes off in the morning. And he was talking, and I heard on CBC or somewhere when the by-election was called. Actually, yeah, because when the by-election was called, they had a quote from David Ebby from the BC Civil Liberties Association of BC. He's the executive director there, for those of you who don't know that context.
Right.
They quoted him saying he was interested in running for the nomination. So I was like, oh, okay. So he's interested in the nomination. But I knew that Mel Lehan, who had run the last time, who I'm a big fan of, and sure. I voted for
me
him.
Me too.
Yeah. Although I had a very interesting conversation with someone I know who wasn't as big of a fan of his that I was surprised. But you know, she had very legitimate points that I hadn't even thought of. But anyways.
Okay.
But I won't get into that. But so that, well, maybe there's going to be a vote or a race, right? And you know, it's like hearing that he was interested weeks ago in the Georgia Strait, and then David Ebby saying, you know, when the by-election called that he was going to run. I couldn't imagine they could get the nomination done so quickly, so I assumed there was going to be a nomination thing happening. But yeah, then Adrian Dix this morning says, oh yeah, and we've got a candidate, and then it's David Ebby. I was like, oh. I didn't realize it was a done deal yet. I just assumed that they hadn't had the nomination process yet. Or maybe when David Ebby says, I want to run, and everyone else just sort of drops out. Because, I mean, he has a bigger name. I mean, people know him. He's on TV every other day talking about tasers or whatever, you know.
He's so, on the TV a lot. They always go to him because so much crappy shit happens.
It's true.
Like when they taser 11-year-old boys.
Yeah, gosh.
And don't question the RCMP for days and days after. We can talk about that.
so actually, you know, I don't know much about David Ebby except he's on TV, and I may not agree with everything that the organization he talks about says or their positions, but I don't disagree with a lot of them. I think a lot of them are.
Oh yeah,
it's a great counterpoint to what's going on and so forth. And I know people who work there who are brilliant and brilliant people.
I'm sure.
And but I don't. So I don't really know much. But I'm just disappointed that, because I was really hoping, you know, someone with a really community minded and a strong sense of this neighborhood, you know, in this riding, would have a shot. You know, and of course, I mean, yeah, I guess he's good. He would have lost anyways to Christy Clark, I guess. But I don't know. Because I just think about sort of on the same radio program a few days late last week, they had all the candidates for the federal ride, for this where the federal riding. This is just a Vancouver Quadra.
So you had your debate.
It was on the radio.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, I haven't gone to a web. I try to go to a web to see where there's an actual live, you know, all candidates meeting so I can go to it. But no, I don't see anything. It was only on the radio like for half an hour on like 7 o'clock in the morning. Oh, and all the candidates were so unimpressive.
Oh.
I mean, I have to admit, Deborah Meredith did not come off like a lazy ass, like she always does.
Okay.
But she was very, like, it was so stupid. It was about every voice that they were just there representing their leaders. Like, they weren't talking about, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They would spin the, you know, like, the question would be, so what's important to your constituents in Point Grey? Oh, it's crime. Oh, it's fighter jets. I mean, they didn't say fighter jets, but you know, like,
I know what you mean.
But you know what I mean? Talk about the riding.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an all candidates meeting, debate, you know, like talk about what's, you know, and the Green Party candidate, you know, I was impressed by a couple of them, but this one, and I just know what I heard in this half hour debate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she really even knew her platform that well. It was, I don't know, but maybe I don't want to be rude, but. I wasn't depressed, unfortunately. So
if she didn't come across as confident about understanding what she wants to do in the riding and what her party stands for, then That's not an unfair criticism.
So I was hoping, you know, with Christy Clark coming and this by-election, that it could be an interesting, you know, all candidates basis. I don't know. Maybe David Eby lives in the riding. I guess he must have to live in the riding to run here. I don't know.
But... I'm really not sure about that. I would assume so, but I don't even know.
Because he's such a public figure already that it will be sort of like, it would be almost like Adrian Dix running. Like, you know, it'd be like at that level, talking about the broader issue. Like, if you go to all candidates meeting, it will be about families first. It will be about, you know, all those things that she's talking about, the minimum wage and stuff like that, right? But if Mel Lehan was running, I would really love to go to that all candidates meeting, because I would hope they would try to dig down to issues in this riding. But I mean, I don't know, maybe there will be one. So we should go, actually. You want to go to an all candidates meeting if they have one here for the by-election?
I'm totally there. I would love to.
Okay, well, we'll have to troll the internet to find out.
Hopefully they let us in.
Well, we got to go super early, is what we'd have to do.
Oh, yeah, we would. No, I'd totally be into that. I don't think he's going to win against Christy Clark. I don't think this is the riding for him, personally. I don't know. I'm sure he's more than capable of the job. It's just, I don't think he's going to win. But I was really surprised to hear that he is running over here, because, you know, he is kind of, he seems more based in closer to where I am.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah.
The Pivot Legal Society, which he's part of as well.
Yep.
So, and I think his rock band plays like a lot of
oh, really?
Bars, like, is around he... our area anyway.
I didn't know he was a rocker.
Yeah, he's like a singer guitar player too.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think he's a cool guy, like, don't get me wrong, but I don't think that this is the right
See,
race
if
for him.
He was a folk singer, then maybe he could have done well here.
If he did more coffee shops and more singer-songwriter style, maybe, but if he played St. James every now and again.
Yeah.
Your little haunt down the street. But maybe go from provincial to federal now.
Yes, we're halfway through this campaign. Did you you know, you were emailing me about, are you watching the English debate? It was, I mean, 4 o'clock in the afternoon for us, for God's sakes, you know? Like,
I know.
Like, and, you know, they don't even repeat it.
They did.
Did they? Oh, okay.
But late. Like, it was like 11 o'clock or something.
Oh, I can barely stay up that late anymore.
So what's the difference between PVRing at 4 and 11 p.m., right?
Right,
you're still PVRing.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't quite have a PVR.
Oh, right, sir. Well, I taped it because I thought, well, if I'm too busy at work, whatever.
Right.
I had on the background at work, and I was able to actually watch a lot of it. But my impression of the debate was... you know, aside from a few, you know, left hooks and stuff, it was mostly on message. It was mostly like Ignatieff kept saying jets and jails, and he got a little tired. But Leighton, best performer by far.
Really?
I really think he's shining now, and he's, you know, this one pundit explained it this way, which is before he was looked at as the used car salesman.
Yes.
So Jack Layton, leader of the federal NDP. But now they're viewing him as an elder statesman. And I think in a lot of ways, part of how that happens, though, is obviously he's been around the block a few times.
Yeah, longevity.
Longevity, but also, you know, he's got his injury and
his
illness, which obviously he sounds like he's doing well and he looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think, you know, you put all those things in people's minds and they think, okay, well, he's really going to give her on this one.
Right.
And
yeah.
And he sounded eloquent. He got jabs in there of stuff that people was like he even got after Ignatieff for his poor attendance.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even know about that until he
Well, no one did, right? And that's the whole, like, he was smart. He was probably like, my party's got to dig up stuff for me that they wouldn't, the other parties, you know, wouldn't think right. I would get them, you know, come from behind or whatever, almost like a sucker punch.
Right.
And so he was the most clear. He had the most good points about things, and he had the least to lose, obviously, because, well, aside from Duceppe, which I don't even want to talk about. He was so awful. And even Chantel, the correspondent on the panel on...
Chantel Hubert, yeah.
Yeah, on...
CBC.
National.
Yeah.
She said that was the worst English debate Duceppe's ever done.
Really?
So anyway, Leighton was just so clear. And, you know, the National went to this bar with these young people that...
Yes, I saw that.
And they all love Leighton, right?
Yes. And actually, that was my one point I was going to say, was I saw that, and I'm hearing what you're saying. And that's what I've heard a lot, at least from some of the coverage I said, that Leighton did really well.
Yes.
And then I was seeing my dad the next day, and I was watching Global National.
Yeah.
And they did a story about the debate, and that's been with that Harper had won. And they looked at an image consultant, and the image consultant, oh yeah, he looked prime ministerial, and Nadia stumbled on his words, and I was like, wow. I mean, just goes to show you can see the spin, or you know, the political leanings of the people who own these stations, right? I mean, CBC is a public broadcaster, so it always has a very strong center, if not left of center bend to it.
Yeah.
Although it's never really been too ideological, right? But, you know, Global, you know, you think about BC TV News, right? And has always been a little bit more right-leaning, but I never really, like, I mean, the way it was so one-sided, the way those stories were about the debate, and I never think about sort of, you know, the Canadian media having such a bend, political bend to it as, let's say, down in the States, right? But it was pretty clear. I mean, it was subtle, but it was still really clear, right?
Which is, to me, a bit scary, because these are the guys that put these debates together.
Yes.
And they, you know, a lot of people did you hear about the positioning of where they were standing during the English debate?
No.
Because immediately, some of the first things that these pundits were saying, and all across the board, was that where Leighton was positioned was really helpful to him. Because he was between Harper and Ignatieff.
Right.
And Duceppe was in the corner somewhere.
Yes.
But, and he barely got on camera, like, you know, they did this over-the-shoulder viewpoint behind Harper, where you could see Duceppe, but otherwise, you know.
Right.
But, and you think, you know, it's kind of funny, because they say what's his face, on National, Peter's management, said they did pull out of a hat where they were going to stand. But I have a lot of trouble believing that. Because it made perfect sense for where Duceppe was during the English debate. You can't tell me that where the cameras were pointing and where they were looking, that they would have had Duceppe say where Harper was.
Right.
Or late. There's no way.
Yeah. Yep.
And because Leighton was between Ignatieff and Harper, Ignatieff not being next to Harper, it was bad for Ignatieff because he wasn't able to attack. He actually looked very secondary during that debate. During the French debate, he was better. He was next to Harper. And he, funny enough, he has the worst French out of all of them.
Okay.
But he actually was way more effective somehow in what he was trying to say. But the other reason for that is because they were obviously talking about Quebec more.
Yes.
And he had way better way of conveying what he wanted to say to Quebecers than actually the whole country in the previous debate. So,
right.
I don't believe it when they say they weren't positioned by chance, or where they were.
I think about that classic debate for the BC election where you had Mike Harcourt and Rita Johnston on the other side, and there's, you know, Gordon Wilson in the middle from the newly reborn BC Liberal Party saying, look at here, on either side of me, they're going crazy. You know? Right. Like, yeah, and so, yeah, I mean, positioning is really important.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, and you could feel it as soon as every time Jack Leighton opened his mouth about something, he felt so much more in charge of where the debate was, the direction of the debate.
Right.
And he looked more statesmanlike between the two of them. He looked more relevant. And I mean, I'm not saying vote Leighton. I'm just saying it was nice to see.
Right.
Because Ignatieff kept trying to write him off, and Harper keeps trying to write him off as if, you know, it's just going to be one of the two of them. Well, that's probably going to be the case. But what I think could really happen this time, for the first time ever, is that Liberals will lose seats and NDP would gain and they might actually be more even.
Right.
Where there won't be a clear opposition.
Right.
Official opposition, rather. That's kind of my thought.
Well, so, I mean, we had a prediction, not prediction, the last time we had a podcast, we kept saying, oh, well, yeah, Elizabeth May is going to get into the debate for sure. And, of course, that never happened. And, you know, and I have to admit, the outcry didn't, the groundswell didn't happen as much as it happened the last time, which I think is a sham. Like, it's really stupid. So I don't necessarily need to harp on that more, but just to harp on the fact that we were both wrong, thinking that was going to happen.
We were. It's good you remembered
but,
that.
But, I mean, now that we're halfway through, I mean, is that your sense? You're thinking NDP will rise a bit, get closer to the Liberals in terms of numbers and some seats, but the big question is, you know, will Harper get his majority still, you think? Will voting Conservative really be the only answer to stop the sovereigntists, as he's been saying the last couple of days?
God, that's just so nauseating. Is that what we have to choose between? A Harper majority or Quebec getting closer to separating? Which I want to talk about that too. But anyway, sorry, this is going to be a big political podcast today.
Yes, sorry for those who enjoy our conversations about food and travel.
We will get to that. When you come back from being off for a bit, we will...
We'll get back on track to normal stuff.
Politics aside.
Yes.
You know, we'll talk about who won. Because our next podcast will be after that. But we won't dwell on it.
Right. We'll be
short and sweet.
We'll either be in euphoria about the Canucks as they continue a run, or we'll just be like, oh, God. Every other year. But anyways, predictions for... Like, do you feel like, is that what you're feeling? Because I have to admit, I've not been terribly excited about this election. And I have to say, partly because it's a really bad riding I've got here with really bad candidates. So
it's kind of depressing.
It is kind of depressing. I mean, I would like at least, you know, in your riding, you at least have Libby Davies, who, you know, whether you agree with her or not, she's a rock star, superstar MP. And she does what she does really well. Yeah. So, you know,
she's a great MP. It was just announced over 2 weeks into it, our Liberal candidate, which her name I can't remember. Roma something, yeah. Great, that's cool. A young woman, she's got lots of experience in different areas, but what took so long, and I know next to nothing about her, or what she feels about things. I've heard nothing about when there will be a debate in my riding. So I'm like you. I want to be able to catch that. At least catch it, streaming or something, or simulcast something. Anyway, my prediction is it won't be a Harper majority. I say that because he has really goofed on this campaign trail, and I don't think it's enough to not win. I think it's enough to turn enough people off to not vote for majority.
Mm.
The other reason I think he won't win a majority is because he won't win the seats in Quebec that he wants. Because, and this will bring us to our next little chit-chat, which is about the Parti Québécois and Pauline Marois winning 93% approval within her party, which means that she'll probably win the next election in Quebec, which is in 2013, which means she'll be putting sovereignty front and center, which, because of that prospect, I think the separatists in Quebec are going to be like, forget Harper, and I could see Bloc actually having a big boost from that. They're going to get more seats.
I saw a headline about that, and I didn't quite understand it, so I didn't realize that there was a party convention.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, with that said, which means no, I still think it could be a Harper minority, unfortunately, because there's enough, the people who are voting in this election and who have before are the ones that like conservatives. All the people who, a lot of people who bitch about the conservatives are those who don't vote. Yes. They're not going out to vote for those other parties. And that's the problem. And I think with NDP being stronger, I think that also ensures Harper winning.
Mm.
So I say, to recap it all, liberals are going to do worse, I think. I think, which will mean some crazy shit for Ignatieff. I think Layton's going to pick up some seats, and he's going to be taken more seriously. And Harper minority again, which means, do they open up the coalition idea again?
Right.
Because why do we go through all this just to go back to Harper minority? Because they're going to have to reintroduce their budget, and we're going to go through this all over again.
Well, they'll pass it. If Harper wins another minority, I don't see him forming a coalition with the NDP in the UK, right? So he'll just form his minority government. They'll put in a budget and it'll pass. It'll pass. Yeah,
I would tend to agree with that. What are your predictions, though?
I'm not anything different than you. I just find, like, because I don't think, you know, the things that were really annoying to me are resonating in the campaign trail. And I'm still interested to see whether Elizabeth May can win her seat in Saanich. That would be interesting.
That would be awesome.
I really hope so, because I just something's got to give finally, you know. It just needs to. And if I was in that riding, I'd be voting for her no problem, for a whole bunch of reasons, you know. But and I think we're gonna. I'm pretty sure exactly what you said. I agree with. I think that's gonna happen. But what will throw me for a loop is if Bev Oda loses her seat, then everything's on the table. Because then I think, oh, the electorate is listening. The electorate is kind of mad at the shit that's going on. And, you know, so if she loses her seat...
Which I hope she does.
Then there's something that might happen. Who knows? But if she wins her seat, then you know that everyone's just complacent. Like, if people in the who have an opportunity... to vote out a woman who writes not on a legal document,
sure.
And think that that's okay. If she gets her seat again and wins it just comfortably, then you know that nothing's sticking, right? Like, you know, it's pretty clear.
That's a really good point. Imagine that, huh? She keeps her seat.
Because it's not as if, like, you know, like, everyone's talking about, you know, the contempt of Parliament and all that stuff about cost of crime bills and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not really sticking to Vic Taves as the Justice Minister, right? I mean, it's not. So I keep hitting my filing cabinet.
People look at him like he's a hard ass.
Yeah.
Well, he's laying down the law.
And he's being positioned as the guy who introduces the bills, or the bills come from his department, but he's not the one who costs them out.
Sure.
Right? You know, like... And I think, you know, John Baird is just comes off as an asshole, but he'll get in because people like that from their MP sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But Bev Oda is the clearest one where it's just offensive. Bev Oda is totally the clearest one where if anyone could vote someone out because of a certain specific thing, it's her. It really is, right? Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, she shouldn't be the only one. For some reason, other MPs are escaping me that should be gone as well.
Oh, there should be tons.
I mean, what about those guys that were charged by Elections Canada or you know?
Yeah, those are senators, though.
Senators. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, that's why, you know, I think if Elizabeth May had some roots in Durham, Ontario, she should have gone and run against Bev Oda.
Yeah.
Right? That's the clearest way she could have won, you know? And because Gary Lund, although he's a conservative guy and I don't know much about him, I know what he looks like, and he's kind of a non-entity in some respects, you know, but the whole craziness of corrupt senators and, you know, old conservative people with hookers for wives or whatever and all these different things, like, he's got to wear all of it, you know, to get defeated by Elizabeth May.
Yeah.
But, right, the problem is no one's wearing all of it.
No.
Like, not... And everyone's not wearing all of it. The only one who's wearing any of it is probably Bev Oda. Like, I mean, I've never seen any stories about what's going on in Durham and what the pulse is, which I'm very curious about. So, you know, is everyone walking around with not Bev Oda? Vanessa, my sister, for those of you who have not listened to the podcast often, Vanessa was saying she saw something on the news where they showed the Bev, or she saw, maybe someone sent a picture, a Bev Oda re-election. She said, re-elect Bev Oda, and said, not.
Not, yeah. Perfect. Yeah. I just love that picture of her smoking that cigarette.
Yes.
It's so badass.
Well, I've got, so I'm taking up my iPod Touch, but I have my Facebook app on here, and it's so funny because I'm just trying to get to it. I have used a saved, right? And still, for some reason, it's still you. Although that hasn't been your profile pic forever, it still shows it there for some reason. So it's her and her badass ways. And then it goes to the current one, right?
Oh, that's so funny.
But yeah, it's like a bug. It's a bug on the Facebook app. So, anyways.
But yes, yeah, so you think, so I think we largely agree on the potential outcome of this election.
Yeah. The only two things I think is watching out for the Bev Oda result and the Elizabeth May result. Those are the two things that are kind of interesting.
A lot of people have asked her, like, why Saanich, right? Like, cause she was in Nova Scotia, or she was in Ontario.
And... she was in Nova Scotia, Central Nova.
Yeah.
The last time she ran, and that's because she grew up in Nova Scotia.
Okay.
And I don't know why. I guess she had to get some good press to be up against Peter McKay.
Right.
But I think she now is based out of British Columbia. She lives on the island.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it actually is Saanich in that riding, but...
she lives in Sydney, as you're saying, on Strombo. Which is, we should post a link to that if that's possible to find, because yeah, I thought it was a really good interview because of how the stuff, the type of stuff that she was talking about and how she was explaining her platform and just how her party is. And she said that in that outer Greater Victoria area, like that whole South Vancouver Island area there is... it's very in tune with the kind of environmental policies that they want, and
right,
they just live like that, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, that kind of makes sense, you know. Go to a place where, set up shop where you think there's like-minded people that can at least get you into the house, and then next time they'll never ignore you at a debate again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as long as there's you or others, and hopefully, who knows, maybe there'll be a couple more ridings that actually elected Green. It's totally possible, right?
It is totally possible.
I think there was a lot of outrage, back to your point earlier. I don't think it was as noticeable in the mainstream media.
Yeah.
But I really think that there was a lot of people around Canada that felt that that was pretty shitty.
See, now, did you, like, I was thinking about that, like, you know, when the last time the election was called and she was excluded and then was included.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm pretty sure I signed up for a Facebook page or something like that.
Yeah.
But I never signed up for anything. I never saw anyone signing up for that. Like, I never saw one go around. So Did I miss it? Like, did you sign up for something? I was waiting to see Sean likes this. And then it was some sort of, like, you know, keep me in or something. But it was never, I never saw anything on my newsfeed about that.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I did.
Oh, see, I missed it again, that in your Britney Spears commentary with your
sister. I'm going to double check that, but I do remember seeing something about that and liking it.
You know what I'm seeing a lot is everyone's liking Shit Harper Does or something.com. I haven't gone to it yet, but...
it is hilarious. There's a bunch of videos, and the latest one is because he sung Imagine.
Oh, yes.
Did you see that?
Well, and I heard the Yoko Ono and... you know, that sort of stuff, which, you know, it was like, you know, I never liked Yoko Ono anyways, but you gotta give it to her. She calls a fraud a fraud.
I thought I had only heard about it because by the time I heard about it, she already yanked the video. And I thought, oh, well, this will appear somewhere else. And of course it did. It is so horrifying watching him sing Imagine with this young Lady Gaga protege, this 10-year-old.
Yeah, I saw the footage of it on the news.
Oh, you did? Yeah. See?
Oh, yeah.
I was sitting there, I almost vomited. It was so awful. and so square and cheesy and no soul whatsoever, and weird to watch him go falsetto.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, whoa, and do vibrato and all this kind of shit. And I was like, oh, like, I just shivered, right? And then they put that in that Shit Harper Does, or Shit Harper Did video, which is other site and stuff. The thing with that site is it's funny because you have all these people talking to the camera, right? People, and they look, they do it like when celebrities are like, oh yeah, support Make Poverty History or whatever. Right. And all these celebrities dress in white and shit. Well, they kind of do a take on that, but it's just like kind of hipster, like kind of 30 somethings going, you know, we're not celebrities, but kind of wanted you to see what this Shit Harper Does or whatever, right? It's overall, it's pretty funny. I almost think it's a little too hipster.
Okay.
It's a little scenester, you know? And it's like, you know, you got the guy with the weird trucker hat with a beard, you know, a beard. It's like going on Main Street and walking around talking to people, right?
Right.
Anyway, so, you know, there's that aspect, which is kind of silly, but they get the message across. I don't know. I think that he's going to win, and we just have to see what happens. We have to get other people voting somehow. There's tons of people who think he's crazy and insane, and we got to get all those people voting. That's what I think needs to happen.
Yeah. See, there's such clarity on that, but I just don't know what the solution is.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, there's lots of organizations that try to get young people to vote, you know? They're going around saying, and it's really good work that they're doing, but it just doesn't seem to catch on.
Yeah.
And the environment is, like, way down here on the list of big topics for the election. It's just unreal. So, I don't know. I think it's too bad, and I'm seriously considering the protest vote with the Greens.
Okay.
I'm seriously considering, because I don't think Liberals are effective. NDP, I'm mostly in line with, but sometimes there's stuff that comes out of that party where I'm like, how are you going to cost that out? And, of course, Conservatives, like, whatever, and there's no block, so...
Right.
I was thinking, the more numbers for the Greens, the better. I haven't decided 100%, but that's an option I'm weighing.
Yeah.
And I like what they have to say. I think some of it's kind of like, oh, huge wish list kind of platform, but right. But I like the idea of what they're saying, you know.
Yeah, I actually should take some time and read the platforms, because, you know, like, I am very, very horrified by Deborah Meredith. But I guess over time I've just become less, not because she's less horrific, it's just because I'm just so damn tired. And yeah. You know, Joyce Murray isn't any better. She who's a liberal. She machine phoned me twice in a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I got none of that.
And you know, I should, you know, read up on at least the Green platform and the NDP platform a bit more, because, you know, I was strategically voting to cock block Deborah Meredith, right? Because I don't want her to be in. I thought, oh, Joyce Murray, that's the easiest way to cock block Deborah Meredith. She does not deserve to be in Parliament at all. But now I'm not so worried about that. I don't know why. So maybe I do want to give a vote, my $2 or whatever, $2 for every vote to the Greens or something, right? But again, I wasn't that impressed by the Green candidate. So at least I really do have to go and take a look if there's a debate somewhere. That'd be probably better.
Yeah, yeah. Or at least a transcript or something.
Yeah. But anyway, I feel like I'm losing steam on this topic. So
else? I think we fully exhausted it.
But anything else on your list of things you wanted to talk about today? Because, you know, I have to admit, I had very little planned.
No, I mean, maybe this is just a
good politics one.
A politics podcast, and no sense of trying to force out these other things that we're just, it's not coming to our minds.
Well, the one thing I will ask you, because you're sitting here in my home. Losing my
voice, yeah.
Tell the world out there how clean my house looks right now.
Oh, Justin, where do I start? No. Well, yes. No, you've done a great job. Your house is looking great. lots of floor space, lots of room, and very smart compartments that you've bought, you know, shelf units and stuff.
I'm very pleased with those.
I think
it's a little known store called IKEA, for those of you who've never heard of it.
But it's brilliant. I mean, you know, Elaine and I have moved a few times in our shared living. And I don't know how else to say it. Common law existence. And
living in sin.
And happy to be doing it. Living yes, in sin. So. I love sin. Anyway, so we often think, oh, you know, we're gonna buy grown-up furniture and stop, you know, the college style living furniture and all this kind of stuff. But what do? We go to IKEA and we get shelving units, you know, because it's so smart because you're not spending a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of the styles now, it's way better than it used to be. It's a little, they're mostly current looking. And they're just practical. Okay. So I say congrats and good job. And you just got to keep it up for a little while longer.
Yes.
You know, don't let things kind of just take over again.
Got a good. I have to do a good vacuum, and then I think we're good to go.
And do you notice though that being less cluttered means kind of being less cluttered in the head? Don't you find? I find that I can actually feel a little more relaxed around the house, a little less anxious. Maybe it's just my neurosis or whatever.
No. I agree with that. I like the first place is actually completely clean. Is my bedroom, and you know I have a nice little sitting chair there now, which you tested out now. And my bedroom feels a lot more calm than it did before. Like I had stacks of magazines. Like I had budget travel from 2002.
Exactly.
You know,
right?
Like
stuff you need to just, it's about, being able to leave it behind.
Yeah.
Saying, you know what? Do I really need this? It's like Mike says, our friend Mike, mm-hmm. You've had it for 6 months and you're not using it. Out of there, or a year, or whatever, you know.
That doesn't sound at all like how you make Mike sound.
Oh no!
I thought you were actually going to try to impersonate our wonderful friend Mike.
No, I don't know. I didn't even actually think to do it, but I don't know if I should do it just because, you know, impersonating's all fun, but it's all fun, you know, in the private home. Kind of. Okay, I'll do it. No, sorry.
Oh, you're such a tease.
Shana. I know. I'm going to be a tease until it just has to happen.
It does. It does.
You know, it will happen maybe one day. All right.
Fine. So that's a good ending. I got my kudos for my clean house. Thank you. I just rewarded that.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, there's going to be lots of good links, and you should post a link to your living room or something.
Yeah, I won't do that.
just grab a video from your nightly webcam kind of action. Right.
yes right.
I'm kidding.
Well, catch us all on the dotmatrix.com and we'll post this on there, and well, when you hear it will already be posted. So and we're on Facebook, so search for us there. With a Facebook, is it a group or a fan page? I forget what it's called.
It's a group. You can join the group. And then if you're interested in listening, then you will get a message every time we post a new episode with a description and when and where it's available to listen.
And usually when I see that, I try to like it. So.
Oh, excellent. Exactly. Like just spreading the word.
Well, I tried to, like, when you posted the last one, I was in bed. I won't go any more descriptive than that.
But thank you.
I'm holding on to my iPod Touch and I'm like, okay. Like, I want to like it. And it wouldn't let me like it.
Oh, these devices, man.
And I was too lazy to get out of bed.
You mean the couch.
I know. I was in bed. I actually was in bed.
Awesome. Okay.
All right. So, whoa, that's loud. Okay.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of editing going on with this one.
We were worried our levels were too low.
I know. What were we talking about? Okay. Well, thanks for listening.
Till next time. Doobie 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 do